Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Lord, that is the cry of our hearts this day. Never once have we walked alone on this journey of life. Never once have we faced any circumstance, whether joy or sorrow, without you with us. And we are so thankful for that. We don't even know how to wrap our minds around the profundity of that simple truth. And so, Lord, this morning, let it reach us at the heart level. And we pray now as we turn to your word that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would grow us to make us more like Jesus and to equip us to go out into the world and live before a watching world the faith that you have instilled in us. Father, we love you. We trust you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, hope you will enjoy this powerful story, but I hope you know that you are in a place where God answers prayer. Just the other day, I didn't have a voice, and it doesn't sound great, but it's there. So there are also people praying that if you don't know Jesus, you might be saved. And so if you're in here and you don't know Jesus, this is a dangerous place to be. I just want you to know. You might encounter the risen Savior today. We pray that you do. But I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. If you're in the Pew Bible, that is page 917. We're going to look at verses 26 through 40 today. We've been watching God open up his church. And we last week saw God take his church from Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria on their way to the ends of the earth. And I want you to know that when you and I open our lives to God's movement, we see the miraculous take place. When you and I open our lives to God's movement, we see miracles occur. Today I want to give you this theme. God providentially guides his messengers to be in the right places at the right times. We must be ready always. God providentially guides his messengers to be in the right places at the right times. We must be ready always. In Acts chapter 8, we're going to see in this narrative the story of a chance occurrence, a chance meeting, at least from outside observation. But in the economy of God, we know there's no such thing as a chance occurrence, as a chance meeting. No, God had a providential appointment for Philip. And God had a providential appointment for an Ethiopian official that they would come together and a miracle would occur. And so Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." And I want to give you the first part of verse 30. So Philip ran to him. Number one is this: God's messengers must be sensitive and obedient to the gentle nudging of the Holy Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that makes you one of God's messengers. And if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ who is one of God's messengers, you have to be sensitive and obedient to the nudging of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God led Philip to go to this certain place. The Spirit of God led Philip to go to this certain chariot. And what is the most powerful text in this passage? And he rose and went. That doesn't seem very powerful, does it? Doesn't seem very profound, but in rising and going where the Spirit of God was leading him to rise and go, Philip stepped into the possibility of God's intervention in a miraculous way. Many years ago, I had a boat, and I had taken some students out on the lake at Barron River Lake, and while we were out there, a storm blew up. And it was one of those deals where you could see it coming, but you kept on playing because maybe, just maybe, the wind would change and it would go the other way. Have you ever done that? Well, we played a little too long, and I had to unload my boat, so I dumped all the students out at that long hill behind the lodge there, except for one. I made one stay with me. It was the one that Bless his heart. He deserved to stay with me through the squall that was coming up on Barren River Lake. But the problem was he didn't know what to do in a boat. And if you've never been a boat person, you know, or you don't know, that there are rules to being a boat person. One of those rules is you don't step on my seat with your grungy flip-flop on. Any boat people can say amen? Amen? Well, this young man had stepped on my seat with his flip-flops on many times. And anyway, we had to weather this storm, and it wasn't that big of a deal, but the waves were white-capping on Barren River Lake. And, you know, if you've ever watched the show Deadliest Catch, you know how scary that can be. Now, Barren River Lake is no Arctic Ocean, but still, there were white caps, and my little boat was rocking and reeling, and we didn't know if we were going to make it. Well, it took about an hour of getting soaked in this thunderstorm that came up. We got the boat out. We pulled it out. I dropped him off. And I went to a store just to get some chicken wings. I was starving, and there was a store nearby that had some good chicken wings, and I was exhausted and didn't want any part of anything. I wanted some chicken wings. Well, as I pulled my boat in, I saw another boater who had his boat, and he was standing there leaning against his boat, and he was smoking a cigarette, and every now and again he'd turn around and look at his boat, and he would start talking to himself in a very angry kind of a way. Have you ever seen somebody start talking to themselves in a very angry kind of way? And he would take another drag and look and just shake his head and stomp and start talking to himself some more. I said, well, stinks to be him. I'm going to get some chicken wings. So I parked and I start walking. And I didn't hear an audible voice, but I had a definite sense from the Holy Spirit, you need to go talk to that man. And this was your pastor's response. Lord, I don't want to. I have had quite a day. You've seen what I've been through. I just want some chicken wings. He's fine. So I take off and I start walking toward the store. And I glance back and there he is again, taking another drag and shaking his head and looking at his boat. And the Spirit of God was just so heavy. You need to go talk to that man. I don't want to. You need to go talk to that man. So I stopped where I was, now 50 yards away from this man. Had some trash in my hand, threw it angrily into the garbage can and said, okay. So I walked all the way back to him. And this was the place I was in. I said, look, I'm sorry to bother you. I can see you're not having a great moment right now, but I just really feel like God was leading me to come say hi to you, to talk to you, and to ask if I could pray for you about anything. And I didn't know what to expect because this man was visibly angry. And the closer I got to his boat, I saw why. The waves had pushed him up into a rock wall and that fiberglass was looking rough. And the man teared up. He teared up. And he started sharing his heart a little bit. His dad had been a Methodist preacher. And he'd gone to church with his dad his whole young life. But as soon as he could get away from it, he quit because he said the churches that his dad served were so mean to his dad that he didn't want any part of any of it. So he was done. His dad had passed away not long before, and he was just struggling. And he had thrown his life into gaining enjoyment from trying to catch fish at Barren River Lake. And now his boat, the vessel through which he would gain enjoyment at Barren River Lake, was now tore all to pieces. And this man, who was so angry, began to weep. And this messenger of the Lord here, who had failed so greatly, began to weep with him. Now, if we're sensitive and obedient to the nudging of the Holy Spirit, we can step into God's miraculous movement. And I want you to know that even if you have told God no, which is a bad move, by the way, I'll confess, you can still repent and say, okay, Lord, now I'll go. Philip listened to the nudging of the Holy Spirit. He rose and he went where God told him to go, and now watch what happens. Verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Number two, God's messengers must be students of God's word who can give an answer for the hope that they have in Christ. God's messengers must be students of God's word. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved so that you might be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And Philip was prepared for this moment because he had immersed himself in God's word. And when he got to the Ethiopian eunuch, he knew that he was reading Isaiah chapter 53, that majestic servant song in Isaiah that is so undeniably about Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Messiah. And he was able to answer for him, about whom does the prophet speak? The Bible tells us to always, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's there at the bottom of your notes. Always be prepared. And how are you always prepared? You're sensitive and obedient to the Holy Spirit, and you're a student of God's word, so that when you walk up and somebody's reading the Bible and they say, I don't get this, you can then tell them. But I want you to know, you don't have to be some sort of biblical scholar to be ready to be sensitive and obedient to the Holy Spirit. No, all you have to do is have a willing heart. Philip could have easily said, look, I don't know, but I can get you to somebody who does. Let me get you to my friend Peter. He knows all about this stuff. But the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and the obedience to the Holy Spirit put him in a place to see God do the miraculous. And God had prepared him as he had studied God's word to see this majestic Old Testament depiction from 700 years before the coming of Jesus of Nazareth, that this passage in Isaiah was talking about our Savior. And so what did Philip do? Another profoundly simple text. So Philip opened his mouth, and he shared with him the message of Jesus from all of the scriptures. I had a roommate in college that I really prayed for. He had grown up in a nominally Christian family, had been around church, but wasn't really a believer. And I just asked the Lord to give me an opportunity to share. And the opportunity never came. And we lived together, and so we knew about each other's dirty laundry, literally and figuratively. We knew everything about each other. And I said, oh, Lord, I hope that in my flesh I haven't ruined my witness. I hope I haven't ruined the opportunity to share Christ in a way that he'll be able to understand, that he'll be able to grasp. But then the day came when some personal tragedy struck in his life. He sat down in our room, and we needed to talk. And God opened the door for me to share to him and with him the powerful hope that I have in Jesus Christ. See, if you'll be faithful and sensitive and obedient, God will open the door for you to share when the time is right. God will put you in the right place at the right time and the right moment. We've got to be ready for when those moments come. And I want you to know, I shared with my roommate, and he didn't come to Christ that night. There were some things he was struggling with about his personal life. There were some things he was struggling with about the gospel itself. But I want you to know, a year later, I got to bow at an altar with him as he gave his heart to Jesus Christ and made Jesus his Lord. So you just never know when God is going to open the door to the miraculous. Well, now watch what happens. Verse 36. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Number three is this: God's messengers must be ready to help others obey God. I love this about the Ethiopian eunuch. They're in the desert, and they come upon water. And what is his response? See, here's water. What is preventing me from being baptized? It's what I said to you from the water just after Eleanor Grace's baptism today. What's holding you back? It is not Philip who's asking the Ethiopian eunuch what's preventing you. No, it is the Ethiopian eunuch who is ready to follow Jesus and says, what's preventing me from being baptized? And the implied answer here is nothing.
You have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have entrusted your life to Christ. Step into the waters to obey Christ. And so Philip gets down out of the chariot with him, and they go into this providentially placed water in the middle of a desert, and the man is baptized to profess his faith in Jesus Christ, his Lord. Philip was ready to help him obey God by taking the first step of obedience in following Christ, which is stepping into the waters of biblical baptism. So God's messenger was ready. In doing what seemed so mundane, he stepped into the miraculous. And then watch the last two verses, 39 and 40. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Number four, God's messengers must be faithful even when things get weird. This is weird. This is a weird passage, and it's okay for us to look at this and say, this is weird. Philip just disappeared when he came up out of the water? Evidently. Elijah was taken away into heaven by chariots of fire. God can do crazy things. But our call is to remain faithful, even if it does get a little weird. I never forget, I had the opportunity to meet with a young man many years ago who had questions about what it meant to follow Jesus. And we met and talked and met and talked and met and talked, and it came out that he had been practicing witchcraft as a religion. So the conversation went up a notch. It became a little bit more odd. This man renounced witchcraft and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he said, before I go, and we scheduled his baptism and all that, he wanted me to come out to his car because in the trunk of his car, he kept all of his records. Record albums, you know, some of the younger generation, people used to play music on those things. But he had all these record albums out in the trunk of his car, and he wanted me to see them. I don't know, he had quite a collection. So I went out and saw his record albums. And then he said, well, hold on just one second before I go. And he went up and got in the front part of his car, and he handed me this little piece of metallic-looking, crystalline-looking whatever. He said, here. I said, well, what's this? He said, that's my wand. Do what? He said, that's my wand. That's what I use to practice witchcraft. And I follow Jesus now. So take my wand. So I did. I took it, put it in my office, gave it to my supervisor at the time. I don't know what happened to it, but it's not being used to practice witchcraft anymore. That's called repentance. I turn away from what I used to be, and I turn toward Jesus. But I got to tell you something. To this young man who had been in the ministry for not very long, that was weird. I just had a warlock give me a wand because he now followed Jesus. Okay. But you recognize that God is bigger. God is bigger. And so we've got to be faithful, even if things get weird. So what did Philip do when he was whisked away to Azotus? He preached the gospel and made his way to Caesarea. He was faithful. So for us, if you're a follower of Jesus, are you listening for the Spirit's guidance, that gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit? Will you obey when he calls in what seems so mundane? And then thereby step into the miraculous. Are you immersing yourself in God's word? Are you able to give an answer for your hope? To tell people that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and that they can have hope in him too. Are you willing to help others obey? To help them obey Jesus Christ? Will you be faithful even if it steps outside of the realm of your understanding? That's our call today. God will providentially guide us to the right places at the right times. We've got to be ready wherever we are, because we never know when we're going to have a providential appointment with somebody who needs to know our Jesus. Now, if you're one of those folks that has been holding back, has been waiting, has been finding every excuse you can to keep from following Jesus, don't let it hold you back anymore. be like the Ethiopian eunuch. Here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? You want to know what the answer is? If you have faith in Jesus Christ, nothing. Nothing prevents you from following Jesus. Nothing. So we're going to have a time of response. And at this time of response, if you need to receive Christ, you come. If you need to come and having received Christ, say it's time for me to be biblically baptized, come. If you're a biblically baptized believer in Jesus and you're ready to join our church and be a part of this mission that God is calling us to here at the corner of 12th and Chestnut, come. If you just need to pray, some of our deacons will be here to pray with you. Come. But whatever God would have you do in this moment, I promise you, if you will take the opportunity to take a mundane step, God just might allow that to step into the miraculous. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we love you and we thank you that today we have seen the testimony of a miracle. As Eleanor Grace stepped into that water to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord of her life, her personal Savior who has forgiven her of all of her sin, and she belongs to you and she is clean. Lord, we pray if there's anyone else who needs to take that step of faith, that today they would take it. That today they would take it. But Lord, for all of us, no matter where we are on life's journey, we believe that you are calling all of us to take a step of faith. Help us be faithful now. Give us the boldness to step out into the mundane that we might step into the miraculous. We trust you to be our guide. And we pray that you would give us the boldness to follow you wherever you would lead. That's where we want to go. So Lord, at this time of response, if someone needs to come and be saved, let them come and be saved. If someone needs to come for baptism, let them come for baptism. If someone needs to come join the church, let them come join the church. If someone needs to come pray, let them come pray. Lord, your will be done in this moment on earth as it is in heaven. For we pray it, trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Will you stand with me? And as we sing, I invite you to come. Come, O beloved of the Father, and step into what God might do.